Lake Effect continues on Milwaukee Public Radio. I'm Mitch Teich. It's still maybe just a little chilly for dining al fresco, but the time will come soon, and Milwaukee offers plenty of opportunities, including the old standby, the Beer Garden. A new cookbook by our very own Good Fermentations beer contributor Lucy Saunders offers some ideal suggestions for just such an occasion. The book is called Dinner in the Beer Garden, and Saunders features vignettes from beer gardens from around the world. She joined Lake Effect's Eleanor Peterson in the studio recently and shared more of the story.
Beer gardens are a wonderful facet of enjoying life outdoors. And they started in Bavaria in Germany. And the tradition was to plant a chestnut tree near a brewery to help shade the cellars where the beer was kept aged. And it just naturally happened that people would gravitate towards the shade of the chestnut tree in order to enjoy a draft of beer at the brewery. And gradually, that became formalized and turned into parks with wonderful entertainment. And Milwaukee had a great history of really elaborate beer gardens at the turn of the century, and Prohibition kind of nixed that. We've been also blessed in the last couple of years because beer gardens are making an appearance again, and particularly in public spaces, which is, I think, a really important part of being in a beer garden, is that it is an open and public space, unlike some of the more sheltered patios and outdoor gardens that are affiliated with restaurants.
So what is the star of the book? Beer, food, beer gardens, or all of the above?
I think the answer is E, all of the above. And also, some of the stars of the book are some of the recipe contributors. For example, Vintage Brewing Company in Madison contributed a recipe for a really wonderful beet gnocchi in a Chèvrevise beer sauce, which is pretty amazing. And we have some other additions and pairings. The Sprecher Brewery has a chocolate shortcake with burnt caramel cream that's paired with their award-winning Black Bavarian beer.
I'll need a recipe for that.
There's lots of choices. But unlike some of my past books, which focused on cooking with beer, this cookbook is all about pairing. And that's because I felt there wasn't a book on the market that addressed pairing beer with fruits and vegetables at the center of the plate. So all of these recipes, it's not a strictly vegetarian book. There are a few fish recipes as well as cheese and dairy. But it's one of those things where I think the mineral flavors in some vegetables can be a little tricky for wine, and beer with its malt sweetness and the kind of yeasty effervescence that it gets through fermentation can handle all of those flavors really, really well. So that's been a fun exploration in doing this cookbook, was really focusing on the pairings and fruits and vegetables.
Yeah, because what I've seen is, I was looking through the chapters, you have the cheese, the seafood, and the fruits, but I didn't see any burgers. So how would you describe the recipes that you included in this book? Are they more healthy? Are they light? Are they – where were you coming with this?
Well, the real play was on the word garden in the title, Dinner in the Beer Garden, because this really isn't a book about traditional beer garden fare like the, you know, hot dogs or burgers, as you point out. It's a cookbook for people who like carrots and kale, but also like fish and cheese and chocolate. So it's not – I was looking for pairings where the recipes would show the beer flavors to the best possible light. And I think that's the real driver in choosing these recipes. And they're not complicated either. For example, one of the recipes that's great for this extended winter that we've had is is a udon with a ginger garlic broth. It's super easy. It's a pound of udon noodles cooked in 3 cups of vegetable broth. And you add roasted garlic and pickled ginger, some sliced green onions, and a garnish of toasted sesame seeds. Really easy. And you can also add other ingredients as well if you like, sliced shiitake mushrooms. And I thought a black IPA, for example, the Nuglaris Brewing Company has a wonderful black IPA called Blacktop that would go really well with this.
Mm. That's perfect, especially right before lunch here. So how do you go about pairing a dish that already has beer in it, like the famous Wisconsin beer and cheese soup? How do you go about pairing a dish like that?
Well, again, the flavors of the beer and the soup are subsumed, I think, mostly by the cheddar. There's a huge amount of cheese in the soup, so the total effect is very cheesy with a slight hint of beer at the end. And so I've liked to open it up for people to choose based on how aged the cheddar is. And I also have a couple of toppings that I suggest, popcorn, some additional grated cheddar that's been aged over hops. And I think that, you know, having an assortment of toppings can really change the direction of the pairing. And in culinary terms, that's a bridge. And a bridge pairing is one of those things where you're creating a flavor and an ingredient that is also highlighted in the beer style. And for the beer cheese soup, I'd suggested a red ale to kind of highlight the flavors of the cheese. But there's also an opposite direction you can take in this pairing, and you could use a smoked porter, which would really pick up some of the flavors of the chilies that I add to the base of the soup. Mm-hmm. So there's different directions that you can go with a pairing. And again, you can customize them to your taste. All of the pairing suggestions that I make in the cookbook, I really qualify it because every set of taste buds is different. Everybody's going to be more or less sensitive to certain flavors. You can see that particularly with an herb like cilantro, fresh cilantro leaves. For some people, it's piquant and a little minty and really enjoyable, and for other people, it tastes just like soap. So you really have to know your own taste buds and take the bridge pairings and garnishes in the direction that you want for your beer. And that requires tasting your beer and then creating a taste memory around it, thinking while you're tasting that beer, what would be good with this?
So for those who like one kind of beer versus another, like light versus dark and so on, how do you encourage people to try the new pairings and the new recipes, or do you?
I do encourage people to try pairings with the recipes. One of the easiest ways is to get some tasting glasses or do a short pour of a beer and share it among your guests at the dinner table so that you really just have a 2-ounce or a 3-ounce sample in front of you. And then you can taste some different beers with your food and come up with a pairing that's right for you before committing yourself to an entire glass.
One of the opening chapters, you advise the readers how to approach this book, and with one of the tips being, you smell the beer before you sip. Why should we, and what would that tell us?
Well, you use all your senses when you're appreciating any kind of pairing. You want to appreciate it visually. You want to look at your beer. You want to smell it because there's lots of aromatics that can help guide a pairing. And indeed, I think that some of the textural components in beer, the carbonation levels and the presence of yeast, can really change the perception of food on the palate as well. You can really see this with beer and cheese pairings. When you taste beer, eat the cheese, and then taste the beer again, the taste of the beer will typically be very different than the first sample.
How does the beer aftertaste affect the pairing?
The aftertaste is a key part of the beer because that's primarily where you get the retronasal sensation of both the carbonation, aromatics, and the bitterness of the beer as it slides down your throat. So it's a lovely part of enjoying beer, and that's one reason why typically at beer competitions the judges swallow and they don't spit. Like they do at wine tastings.
Interesting.
Right.
So coming across or going through these recipes and coming up with different pairings, did you have any that just did not work out at all?
Well, again, I come at this from the angle of about 25 years of experience in beer and food pairing. And as you can tell from the recipes that I've read so far, they're pretty easy. They're not that challenging. Mm-hmm. And that's my goal, is to make it very open and accessible. So it's to each their own taste.
So then, do you have any favorite recipes?
There's a couple that I think are great for this time of year. One of the things about late winter and early spring is you get this kind of, at least I get this craving for green, crunchy foods. And there's a great recipe for endive with oranges, toasted pistachios, and a Parmesan cream that's really easy. It's six endives that are about 3 ounces each, and you sear them either on a grill or under a broiler until they're lightly golden and soft, and then cover them with the segmented sweet oranges and the toasted pistachios, and make a little dressing out of mascarpone or yogurt, and mix in some Parmesan cheese and chives. And it's a really refreshing salad, and you can enjoy that either with a dry American porter or even a smoked porter, like Alaskan Brewing Company. They have a great smoked porter, and it kind of picks up the little charred edges of that grilled endive.
Mmm, yummy.
Good, Eleanor.
Wonderful. Well, Lucy Saunders, thank you so much for being here on Lake Effect.
Thank you so much, Eleanor.
Lucy Saunders is a Lake Effect contributor and author of the new cookbook, Dinner in the Beer Garden. She'll talk about the book at a reading and tasting this Sunday afternoon at Books and Company in Oconomowoc. Lucy Saunders spoke with Eleanor Peterson. That's another week's worth of Lake Effects. We're produced by Stephanie Lecce, Dan Harmon, and Bonnie North, with production assistance from Eleanor Peterson and Craig Wirrell, web support from Michelle Maternowski, and studio engineering from John Strelecki. I'm Mitch Tyke. Enjoy the weekend ahead, and I sure hope we'll be a part of it. Lake Effect Weekend is tomorrow and Sunday afternoon at 3 on 89.7 WUWM, Milwaukee Public Radio, NPR in Milwaukee. Right now, it's 11 o'clock, and stay tuned. Fresh Air is next.